There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, live from the Sunset Capital of Alabama, Dolphin Island, and the 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo Day 1. We'll be down here today. We'll be down here tomorrow and Sunday, so hopefully you come by and say hello. Got to see a lot of y'all last night at the Liars Contest. It was a lot of fun and well attended. Also, in the Mobile Command Unit, that's our studio on wheels right now. I don't know if this is allowable. You know how, like, the president and vice president can't be on the same plane. They got to be split up. But I have the mayor of Dolphin Island and the president of the Alabama DC Fishing Rodeo in the same place. Both of y'all security details are out there. Are we okay?
I think we're good, mayor.
I think we're good, Sean. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll chance it.
Okay, just making sure. I don't know if I can have the two of y'all there. Chase Farley, as the... I would say emperor of the 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, but a lot of people call
according to Facebook.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Shout out Brian Rowe.
I heard there's some stuff going on there. If people have not checked out y'all's social media, there's things to see there.
There is. There's a couple of AI.
Do you not have respect from your people? As a president, can you not get respect?
Hey, we'll take all the PR we can get good, and we'll fish out the bad.
There you go.
How are you feeling this morning?
Well, we had a big time last night.
We did.
Yeah, had a big time last night. You know, Mayor and I were talking about it before you even got in here, that turnout for the Liars Contest last night was something.
It was significant. I mean, I've been in 7 years and I haven't seen a crowd. I mean, it was all the way back to the tents. The crowd was so. Kudos to the town and kudos to the community for coming out and supporting. I mean, it was a huge turnout.
You know, and Mayor, you and I back as judges again, and we had to actually put in. Y'all had it. By the way, the nicest scorecard ever for the judges on the Liars. Yeah. Usually, you know, it's like a piece of paper.
Sticky
it was
notes.
A printed, nice thing with the number and the name and all the, I mean, and the logo. But we had to add another spot to it because it was beyond how many were on the card.
I heard there was a ukulele.
It was fantastic.
Did he win?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was absolutely. I'll go ahead and tell you what this judge, I gave him the highest score.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Song about a pelican and a game warden.
And the game warden.
Yeah, so I thought it was pretty fantastic. But, you know, it is a testament to, you know, we talk about this as the planet's largest multi-day saltwater fishing tournament.
Sure.
It's that, but y'all put on big entertainment. I mean, you've got the Liars Contest, but then you had music going on right after. You got music. I don't know if there's not a, you know, it used to be a thing like, oh, one night, way back, I'm that old, there would be music one night at the rodeo. Remember that, Mayor?
Yes, sir.
And Mayor was like, playing the ukulele.
Yeah, right.
And now it's like every night during the day, you all have entertainment going on the whole time.
Yeah, and this is the fullest the site has ever. I mean, we can't squeeze any more sponsors. We have maxed out capacity. Our operations is overcooking right now, but there is a ton of stuff going on down here. Everything for the family and then, you know, for the anglers that are fishing as well. I mean, weigh station's open right now. T-shirts are going extremely quick. We are sold out of all the Mossy Oak and all the
Before I even open the text line, you answered that because they were asking me that the other day when the audience knew I was coming down here.
Yeah.
So those are...
gone. Sold out, sorry.
Okay.
Next year.
What about the regular shirt?
We still got, we got plenty of regular shirts. The President's Print is still here.
Okay.
We do have the hooded performance ones, but anything camo... you're going to have to wait till next year.
There you go. Buy more of those for next year. And, you know, I would say as well, weather-wise, now, did the wind find some way to blow everywhere that I fished this morning? It did, but we don't have rain showers. We don't have. You got a nice weekend.
We got a nice weekend. Mayor prayed over it for us.
Thank you. There you go. Yeah, you and I have seen some different weather down here, haven't we?
I take credit for that.
Yes.
Yeah, we have, Sean.
And this is nice. I mean, you got clear skies. And if last night was indicator, I can't imagine what tonight's going to be.
I think Sunday's going to be beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, when it gets like that, the turnout. The people come, you know. And that's one thing that, you know, we're focused on the fishing. But I mentioned the entertainment part because people will say, well, if I'm not fishing, would I go down there? I said, yes.
100%.
Explain to somebody who they're not fishing, but why they would come down here.
Yeah, so we have our big sponsor tent. It's a big horseshoe. It's got AC in it. Got a ton of sponsors in there doing raffles and giveaways. And you can purchase their merch and support. They're all local, mostly of them. You can sign up for the Marines. Sean, I'll put your name in for that.
Yeah.
So there is tons of stuff going on. Pepsi's here. They're doing a huge activation center. They're giving away. They have been an awesome supporter of us. It's their first year, and they have really went out and above and beyond for us. Mossy Oak is here. Columbia, Easy and Outfitters. Dustin, them guys are there. They are great. Delta Marsh. So there is tons of stuff going on. Xfinity has a big spaceship thing over there. Have you seen that, Sean? It's like it opens, it's hydraulics. It's pretty cool.
I was wondering what that was.
Yeah,
I didn't,
yeah. It's like a ride at Disney.
I mean, I saw that where we were sitting, Mayor, when looking at that, but I didn't know what it was.
I didn't either.
No, they brought in on a big flatbed truck, and it started expanding and hydraulics going everywhere. I was like, I'd like to take a ride.
So we even have an alien system.
We do. Oh,
okay.
All right.
Good to know.
Man, you bring
that's
it
the
all.
Next Brian Rowe post right there.
Aliens have invaded. I think about this, that the number of people, and they're not aliens, they're from this planet, but we get into the science part of it, and we'll talk next hour with Dr. Sean Powers about this, but fishmas, they call it. There are not only the folks from the Sea Lab here and USA Marine Sciences, but there are people come from all over marine biologists to come here.
I just got word. A professor from the University of Miami has flown in with his x-ray machine, this new x-ray machine, and they're going to start x-raying the fish that are coming in, and they're going to get 3D scans of all of the fish that are being weighed in. So, never heard of it. Don't know what it is.
Oh, I'm interested.
Yeah, I mean, they brought an x-ray machine in for this, so.
To them, to think about what it works because, you know, we all get to have fun and go fishing. It works because y'all, the JC's charity, you raise money.
Yep.
Right? You raise money for charity. You raise money for the science that's going on here. But at the same time, the scientists, to be able to get a bunch of people willingly go collect the biggest and best of these given species and then bring them back here so they can take a sample of it. Mm-hmm. That if you had to fund that.
Millions.
It'd be insane.
Right.
Millions and millions.
And we do it with a smile on our face.
And you're going to do it again tomorrow.
Yes, I am, man. I'm going to do it on Sunday as well. Let's also talk about that. If people don't know, if they're new to the rodeo, make sure you, even if you think, hey, I don't have a winning fish, but you have a fish that qualifies for size, just minimum size, bring it in because, I don't know, there seems to be something you'll give away on Sunday.
Yeah, it's some kind of boat, I think.
Yeah.
Contender 26-foot bay. So.
And so y'all don't have to, you don't have to win a category. You don't
That's
have to
correct.
Be the biggest fish. You have to just weigh a fish in.
Weigh a legal fish in our 33 categories. We have onshore and offshore. And, it's better odds than the casino.
Way bigger. Way bigger. Make sure you take part in it. You talked about the social media. Of course, they can find you on Facebook. Yep. If they want to see live
results. We have a
results,
TikTok now.
Really?
We just got TikTok famous. You want to do a TikTok dance?
No, I do not want a TikTok. I do not.
Me, you, and Mayor can do a TikTok dance.
Listen, if she's listening out there somewhere in the ether, my 20-year-old daughter who thinks everything's got to be a... Yeah, I'm not. I now don't go into TikTok just to be annoying to her, so that's...
That's right.
All right, well, continue to have great success.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you more tomorrow on the show as well. That's his phone ringing.
That's my phone.
The president of the ADSFR, Chase Farley's got to go. But, Mayor, can you hang out with me?
Sure.
Thanks for having us on.
Hey, thanks for having us back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. And we're live from the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo here on Dolphin Island. And I'll be here today, tomorrow, for a special on-location outdoor show from 11 to noon. Make sure you stop by and see us. We're out here. I'd say usually it's easy to see our van, like where we set up our mobile command unit, our studio on wheels. But like the president said, Chase said, Mayor, there's so many vehicles. They got them packed in here. You kind of got to look around to see us. We're out here. You just we're in between the other vehicles.
Kind of like the old canned sardine thing, right?
Yeah, it kind of is right now. It's looking like that. But, yeah, make sure you poke your head in. All right, so obviously before we even count numbers here that the JCs do, I just from getting here yesterday to now, it's already a big success for the island. It looks great.
Yeah, it is, Sean. I mean, you're a big history buff. Obviously, this is the 93rd anniversary of the rodeo. It's been going on for quite some time, and we look forward to this all year long. I know our local businesses do as well, and certainly it's a big boost to the island's economy and to our small business owners here on the island. So it's a good thing. The JCs do a fantastic job. Each year it seems to be getting bigger and better. And it's just a great partnership between the JCs and the town of Dolphin Island.
Yeah, I think about like the season down here and how many businesses, though, have grown here, right? And how many businesses, new businesses are here. And I know this is important. I know that obviously the tourist season in general, a big thing, but this is like an extra shot of octane to it here in the middle of the summer.
It is. And of course, you know, we are midsummer calendar wise, but of course school will be cranking up here in about less than 30 days. So it is one of our big finale to some extent for events as it relates to our community. Now, of course, we've got a lot of other town sponsored event and smaller type things, but this is our last big event of the season. And so we've got to make hay while the sun shines.
How was Independence Day here?
Independence Day was great. I mean, we had a wonderful fireworks display this year. Each year has been a pretty good year. I thought this one was exceptionally a good fireworks show for the 250th. We always get a tremendous amount of people down here, probably 25,000, give or take, probably more than that, actually, because we just have to go by the traffic counter, which gives us that number, but that doesn't count necessarily for all the people who are already here prior or renting. So it's a lot of folks that come here for the island. It was a very safe holiday weekend. That's the most important thing about it. And so, you know, we get that many people in one place, unfortunately things can happen, but we've been very lucky and successful this year that people are having fun but doing it responsibly.
You know, we got green flags flying down here, we're good on surf conditions, but it's something that I harp on a lot on the air and all that, is that people think about the different date, the dangers of rip currents. You know, it's like we don't go a year without, whether here or across the bay, without something tragic happening.
Yeah, and that's another thing. You know, we've made a lot of upgrades in that. I know we were kind of maybe Johnny come lately a little bit to the flags and all the different things that have been up on other coastal communities previously, but we have our own flag systems. We're doing a lot more outreach. We've got with our rental companies on the island to get information and brochures into
To explain to those folks what those flags mean.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, just get them informed and just kind of keep it in front of them. And same thing with the turtles. You know, we've got those types of refrigerator magnets that tell people to keep their lights out at night and all the things you need to do during turtle season. So,
and which is what, like, from obviously everything's a bell curve, but when is the prime?
The turtle is May through early October, so it's a pretty,
it's
all summer. Yeah, it's all summer. And so again, and as you know, I mean, we get people from all over the country and even outside of the country that are very unfamiliar with any of the things that we do here on a barrier island, you know, as it relates to whether it's rip currents or it's sea turtles or it's bird nesting,
right?
All of the above. We have a bit of a challenge of trying to educate and inform these individuals on a short-term basis, and we have partners helping us do that, and I think generally we're doing a good job of it.
Yeah, figuring out how to do that, because a lot of times we'll be in these conversations about, well, everybody, you know, everybody knows the rip current. I'm like, not when we invite tons of people come down here.
Right.
And how do you get their attention?
Right.
Like, they just showed up, they're full of like excitement, they're ready. You got to do something to get their attention. Say, hey, before y'all go get in the water, everything's fun. Want you to have fun, but remember a couple things here.
Yeah, and I say that all the time. You know, these people drive, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours to get here, and they throw their luggage in the house on the beachfront, and they zip to the water. Yep. I mean, that's what they're here for. And so you're right. That is a challenge. And, you know, I think part of that starts with, you know, we've got flag systems that are up. There's a flag as you come onto the mm-hmm. island with a sign.
I like that.
So it's right there initially. Also, a lot of the rental companies in their rental packets have brochures and things that they put in there. So we're doing, and of course, our staff goes around, rides the beaches and watches and tries to talk to folks. So far, I'm knocking on something here that, you know, we've seen a marked improvement over the past 2 or 3 years in that arena.
Hey, you know, the other thing I was thinking about getting people onto the island would be the bridge. Now, I know the JCs and all of us fishing really appreciate the temporary halting to the work. But what is it? People ask me, like, I said, I don't know. They said, what are they doing on the bridge? What are we doing on the bridge?
Well, they're doing some extensive work. I mean, it's a 3-year, $33 million upgrade or maintenance project on the bridge. You know, most people don't think about it. The bridge is 44 years old as of like today almost.
Is it really?
Yes, 44 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So after Hurricane Frederick, this bridge reopened in July of 1982.
Okay.
So we're talking 44 years.
Frederick was 79.
In these elements, you know, salt air, all the things going on, it has to have maintenance. And I don't know that I know all the specifics. One of the things they told me is that the slabs that we drive on sit on a cushion or gasket type thing that separates it from the pilings, and those are getting worn out, so they're having to replace those, amongst other things. And so it has created, obviously, some inconveniences,
right?
Because you can't just drive across the bridge. But we knew going into this project that the ALDOT had already determined they were going to pause operations during peak times, you know, holidays, rodeo, big events, so that we minimize those types of periods. And so that'll all crank up again a couple of days after the rodeo's over. So first Monday or Tuesday, it'll be back in place.
But you say, I mean, it sounds like it's not like they're going to be done a week out. This is going to be ongoing.
This is scheduled to be finished in early 2029. So
will they'll be working just regularly on it?
Yeah, they're working every. In fact, within the past month, they were starting working daytime only. They had changed that to working 24/7 before they shut down for this. Now, whether that's going to continue or whether that was just to kind of make up time for this closure or this pause, I don't really know. But again, the initial period was going to carry us through early 2029. So we're still almost 3 years away.
Wow. Just joining us, talking to the mayor of Dauphin Island, Jeff Collier. I want to talk about, and close the break, but I want to start this conversation too. Think about the bridge, but I also think about the additions. And I can look, you know, right behind us here, well, not right behind us, but a mile and a half or so behind us to the west. It's a change of the face of the island that I think, you know, there's tourists here never realized it wasn't that way, but Graveline Bay and what's changed there. That's how many acres of land
about 70, roughly 70 acres of marsh that was rehabilitated. And of course, what we did is they went in and put up mounds. They built up mounds. I don't forget how many. I think it was 50 or so mounds. And then that was planted with marsh and other seagrass to try to replace that marsh that had been degraded over the years. You know, when I was running around here as a child, that whole area was just this huge marshland.
So you watched it disappear.
I have seen the deterioration over the years. I'm not sure exactly why it happened, but it did. And it makes me feel good to think that we've been able to try to resurrect that area to the way it used to be from a habitat standpoint, number one. And number two, that actually protects the mainland island in that particular area.
Yeah, it's and it got me thinking, we'll pick this up after the break, because what – getting these dual impacts, environmental and recreational right there, but that impact zone to protect that part of the island. Mm-hmm. We go north across the bridge, and the beauty of that project and building out along the causeway there is, yes, it's going to be awesome to have the marshes and you know, all that going on. At the same time, what was it? We'd get like I won't say the H word, we had a tropical weather experience here.
Right.
Not even a big one. And it put so much debris on the road, you had to have front end loaders clearing for 2 days.
Exactly. And so, you know, a lot of these projects that have come through the Restore Act, we always say if we can check multiple boxes, and most of these projects do. When I say that, you know, maybe habitat restoration, it may be public access, it may be recreational opportunities, it may be protecting built infrastructure. The more of those project things that we can do with each individual project, the more good we're going to do long term.
Coming right back, more Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live from the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. And you can stop by and see us in the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit. And I got some goodies for you when you stop on by. Also, I get to check in with my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Find out what's happening in precious metals today.
Precious metals are down. Still the same thing as before, Sean. That stuff going on over in Iran is causing markets to be softer. Investors have been shying away from stocks and gold and silver, which obviously make a great opportunity for people to add to their hedges and their stacks, because silver's trading right around $55 an ounce and gold's under 4,000. So it's been a long time since gold's been under four, you know, by $100. So, I mean, it's very, very affordable right now. So people come on in and add to the stacks. We've been selling lots of gold and silver, and we have lots of it in stock.
All right. How about my two that I don't own any of, but one day I will, that I, you know, you've taught me about platinum and palladium. What's happening with them? And, you know, maybe if people didn't hear us talk about before, a little lesson of why those things rise in value based on something else in the economy.
Both of those have been pretty steady. They're down a little bit with the other metals since they're priced in U.S. dollars and the dollar got stronger. Of course, they went down. But, I mean, they're a great opportunity right now, right? Just about $1,000 an ounce on each of them. And they're used in catalytic converters mainly, not really in jewelry or any of the other industries, just catalytic converters. And about half the auto industry is using platinum, the other half, and there's only a couple of manufacturers when I say that. So the manufacturer kind of split down the middle between platinum and palladium. So it depends on if the other guys switch over. Of course, platinum could rise if the other switches the other way, palladium. So I recommend buying a little bit of both. Very inexpensive, and it's available in 1/10 size all the way up to 10-ounce bars.
That's what I mean. I love that lesson. And if y'all think about it, if you think, basically, and Ron, correct me if that's wrong, but if you think at any point in time we're fixing to make a lot more new cars, you know, or like I think this is trending this way, that rises with the number of new cars being produced.
Yeah, and a lot of times people wait too long because the the higher interest rates and the inflation period we're going through. If the Fed starts lowering interest rates, people will buy more cars and the catalytic converter orders will go up and the metal prices will go up. So it's one of those investments. You can't look at it as an investment. You look at it as a hedge that can actually make you some money by, of course, changing and increasing in value when the auto industry recovers. And interest rates will go down eventually. It's just, it is what it is right now, Sean. So it's a good opportunity to add, especially with the dollar being stronger and those metals being less expensive than they were just last week.
All right. Well, do this. Tell folks how to come find you and get the same kind of education we're talking about right here. How do they see you?
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or just give us a call at the shop at 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there goes Ron from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. We continue our conversation here where the precious metals would be like spoons, like silver spoon, gold spoon.
Lures.
Yeah, that's right? any of those. You know, that's precious metal to catch fish out there. You know, we went to the news break, and I wanted to talk about this because I think it's interesting how these things can do multiple, whether you're talking about Gravelotte Bay or this. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, even up here on the causeway, I mean, and we'll come back to the silver lining to the gray cloud, the reason this money's available.
Right.
But this is a project I don't know that would have been done if we didn't have that. Well, I mean, what do you think?
No, I think a lot of these projects that we've seen happen would not have happened. And that doesn't mean that we need or want another oil spill. Yeah. I think we can all agree to that. But it's what I always say. You know, it happened. We couldn't help
yeah, you
that.
You can't undo
right,
it.
So. Right. But I think what we can do is try to make the best of it. You know, take the money, try to invest it in ways that, as you just said, probably wouldn't have happened or certainly wouldn't happen in our lifetimes to do as much good as we can. And I think looking back, I think there's been a lot of good to take place. And, you know, you mentioned the causeway, and that's a Mobile County project. But for us, obviously, it's a protection of our ingress and egress while they're creating habitat at the same time. And so, you know, these projects that can, as I say, check multiple boxes, you're getting more bang for your buck. And so we've been fortunate to have a lot of projects here on the island, and including, you know, the new boat ramps and things that we put in, new beach accesses, boardwalks, restroom facilities. I mean, it's been a tremendous amount of investments in Dauphin Island proper that is going to pay dividends for a long time to come.
Yeah, I mean, you do those projects because you're also inviting, I mean, Dauphin Island's always wanted tourists to come down, but since oil spill, you've actively been inviting the country to come and see Dauphin Island.
Well, exactly. You know, because when the oil spill happened, I mean, it was pretty dire. I mean, you remember back when, you know, the people were saying, oh, my gosh, you know, the seafood industry could be affected for mm-hmm. tens of years and mm-hmm. decades. And, you know, of course, when that's your bread and butter, I mean, you know, we're into the business of essentially connecting people with the environment. And if you can't use that environment, we're almost out of business. Yeah. And so it was a very awakening type moment. And plus, it was something that none of us was familiar with. I know for me, growing up here on the island, I never would have thought about an oil spill, nor thinking I had to deal with one, and certainly being the mayor at the same time.
It happened to be you that happened to be the mayor
right.
at that time.
So, but, you know, looking back, you know, hopefully we've learned something out of it. I think we have done a lot of good with the money, and I feel good about the way we've taken such a bad situation and made it as good as we possibly could.
So, Mayor, what do you do looking forward? Because 2031, I think, or you can probably correct, that's the end of
yes.
that money?
Yes. That's when the money stops coming in from BP.
So that's going to be these projects we've talked about that have been done. There's not going to be that money. Is there anything that you can self-perpetuate? You can do now and make that money invested like this that's going to be able to give you revenue somehow down the road to be able to do more things like that? Or is it just all come to a complete abrupt end?
Yeah, I mean, there may be some opportunity for that, but I believe, you know, most of this money has to be spent within a certain period of time. Of course, as we just said, the last money coming from BP will be in 2031, but you'll see projects under construction well beyond that.
Okay, so the money have to all be spent by 2031 as long as it's allocated? Or
correct. I mean, once the money gets brought into the various buckets, as
right.
they've been referred to. No, projects, so some projects won't even get funded until after 2031. And then
okay.
it may take them 2, 3, 5 years to build out. So you're going to see things happening beyond that. I think what you're suggesting is once that money runs out totally from from BP, where do we go from there? And, you know, I mean, it gets us back to kind of where we were, which is maybe not a great spot. But there are some additional funds available through GOMESA.
Yep.
GOMESA is a fund that, through the state, that generates right now around $40 million a year. Of course, that number fluctuates. And, of course, you know, that is a mechanism that can help going forward post-BP. And then maybe through the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. There's other grant opportunities, but not nearly to the extent of what we've been experiencing since the oil spill.
Yeah, I wonder if these things that have been done since the oil spill, though, set you up to be in the running for more grants because you have the things they're looking for to grant the money. You know?
Well, I think it can be. I think, you know, usually grants, if you get a grant to do, say, a study, to do something, if you do the study, then normally the grant is going to be there to help you do the build out, you know,
okay.
and then there might be some funding down the road for maintenance and repairs, those types of things. So most of the time there is a bit of a continuation once something gets built out. But again, this particular funding source will expire.
What about, how are we on sand, Mayor? You and I have had so many conversations.
You know, hey, we should be proud. I mean, we're going gangbusters. I mean, we've got a really good relationship and have had for a number of years with the Corps of Engineers. I know you and I sat here a number of years ago and beat them up pretty bad. Yeah. But we've really come a long ways. They're working very closely with us. We do, like, monthly or quarterly conference calls. We're all sharing information. They've actually expanded the Sand Island Beneficial Use Area, which is the offshore disposal site, essentially west of the lighthouse, and they've expanded that further to the northwest, which is what we've been asking. Which,
get a little closer.
Which puts the sand pretty much out where the peninsula is. It's connected to the island with swallowed up the fishing pier. So, you know, that's maybe a negative side effect. But, you know, getting the material closer to the island.
I think that's a fair trade-off, Mayor.
I do, too. I do, too. Of course, I hear people complaining it's too far to walk to the beach. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to be too sympathetic.
Do they understand how good that is?
Yeah, I know. Well, and the other thing we're doing, we're actually working with them on a programmatic permit that will give the town an opportunity to get additional sand in future years from dredge projects of the ship channel to put the sand where we want to put it at a slight cost share thing. Okay. So that's being worked on as well.
So instead of just beneficial use area, you could take it maybe further west,
to a more beneficial use area.
Right,
yes,
right.
And that's what we'd be looking at. We're in the process of determining what those locations would be. And so when the Corps knows they're going to be dredging the ship channel, they would say, hey, Town of Dauphin Island, and in the next year, we're going to be needing to move 1 million cubic yards of sand. Do you want it? Or do you want some of it? And where do you want it? And we have to pay the delta cost, the cost differential between where they would normally dump it and where we want to dump it.
Okay, so they're still on the lowest cost option that the Corps does, but if you can make up that, you have the opportunity to make up the difference.
Right. Yes, it's optional for us.
Okay.
And the other thing is, too, you know, with dredging, most people maybe don't know, the big cost is on the front end. It's mobilization. And so all we would be paying for at that point, for the most part, is the difference of putting it in point A versus point B.
Which has to, I don't know, I don't do this for a living, but it seems like that's going to be very small compared to the total.
Well, it would be.
I mean, if they're taking it here or they take it 2 miles to the west, I mean.
Right. Right. So we don't know what those numbers are going to look like, but it's going to be the best opportunity we've had in many, many, many years. And, of course, we've got the West End Restoration Project that's coming up. That's supposed to happen.
Talk about that.
That's supposed to happen early 2027. Right now we're on path to put out the bids for what will be probably around a $50 million project to put sand on the 3 miles of the west end of the island, extending past West End Beach to restore some of that shoreline and protect, again, creating habitat, protecting built infrastructure, trying to defend the island against storms, those types of things. So that project, unless something pops up in the meantime, is scheduled to start construction early 2027.
Do you know, I mean, maybe would be putting sand on the south side or the north side?
South side. Yeah, south side from the two lane portion of Bienville Boulevard, starting around Raphael Sims, if people are familiar with that. From there all the way down essentially to Katrina Cut. So that's the swath that we're talking about.
That probably make a lot of homeowners pretty happy there.
Yeah, it will. And of course, you know, a lot of the properties that are underwater will not be recovered. Yeah. But, you know, what we can only do what we can do, what the permitting process will allow and what the grant funds will allow. But this is going to be, you know, something that's been needing to be done for many, many years and will help defend the island against storms in the future.
That's, I mean, it is what you and I talked about all those years ago.
Yeah, so
you
maybe know, it did some good.
I don't know if we could, if y'all remember, we back in the time we had lots of H words that the mayor and I said, you know, the federal government's coming down here and paying money to put sand back on Dauphin Island. At the same time, they're not letting Dauphin Island have it in the first place.
Yeah.
We could just cut out the middleman and put the sand on Dauphin Island.
Yeah, we always said, you know, and I always said, you know, hey, we've got sand in the ship channel that we don't need, and we're a stone's throw away, sand starved. We ought to be able to connect those dots.
Yeah, y'all got that stuff. We need that stuff.
If I said it one time, I said it 100 times, and we can only hope that maybe common sense prevail. And of course, you know, we appreciate our congressional representatives. They've done some effort on their end to help steer that down that path as well. But the Corps really overall is looking more favorably toward beneficial use. That's something they've looked at over the last year or two. I don't know that we deserve credit for that, Sean. But it's a good thing. I mean, it just makes sense that if you're going to have a product, put it in a place that it can be helpful to the extent that we can. I know sometimes you can't always do that, but anytime we can, I think it makes sense to do that.
You know, the beaches here too, obviously the sand is the key to the beaches. East End's always been the thing, although it's been improved, expanded, but you mentioned the West End Beach. That's been, like, I've been on it, like, going to the beach, which is rare that I, you know, not in a boat, but I've gone there twice, like, going there, parking and going, and it's super well attended. And when I'm coming back and forth from going further west fishing, a pile of people come out.
Oh, yeah. The West End Beach is very popular because it's so convenient. I tell people, you know, you park your car and you take two steps and you're in the water.
Yep.
North or south side. You know, one of the other things of the north of the West End Beach is the Gulf side access is one thing, but the bay side is even more attractive, particularly with people with small kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's very shallow, usually pretty calm there, those types of things. But it just provides an alternative, and it more people find good things to do there. And of course, we got new restroom facilities as well, and we got vendors on site, and so it's a nice way to spend the day.
Hey, y'all, do this. Come down here, check out the Alabama DC Fishing Rodeo, check out the fish on ice, the live fish tanks, everything going on down here, and then go for the beach day.
Go hang out on the island. There's lots to do, right?
Absolutely. Y'all come on down. Mayor, as always, thank you.
Thank you for being here, Sean.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, live from the 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo right here on Dolphin Island. And it's been a great great night last night for the Liars Contest. Big turnout. Had a lot of folks out here today, day one of the rodeo. And let's see. Oh, speaking of which, so then you know, just had the promo, as we call it in the business, play for Captain Bobby Arriscato in the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Report. Let me see where he is right now. So, because earlier, just to update here, I was looking at the standings here for the rodeo. And see, is he still up? Why is this? Rodeo folks, why is this moving on me? There we go. Still up top. So our go-to guy, Captain Bobby, 18 fishing. Number one in live release redfish. So good job, Bobby. And his brother, one of his brothers, in second place on live release redfish as well. And by the way, I think it was Buddy on the text line. You know you jinxed me. I didn't answer you back there, Buddy, for a while because you were jinxing me. Yeah, so at the beginning, you are correct, Buddy. At the beginning of Midday Mobile, I was leading in the speckle trout slot category. Since I started the show, since I had to come off the water, I got bumped to third. So, but I was in first place going into the show. Now here, towards halfway through the show, I've been bumped to third. We'll wrap up at two and try to go out and catch even more and bigger trout. Michael says Perdido Bay and the pass were pretty windy and rough this morning, too. And said also that bridge maintenance has gone pretty smoothly from what I've seen over the past 4 months or so, except the time I got stuck on the island for 4 hours when someone totaled their 250 in Contender Bay 26 just on the north side of the hump. Well, that's not good. The funny thing today, Michael, I don't know what you saw, but we were joking in the boat, the guys I'm fishing with, we were all talking. It's supposedly impossible to have an island have all windward, right? You have a windward side and a lee side. Today, somehow, it figured out how to be windward the whole time, but I think it's laying out pretty good now. Let's see. Hey, that's cool. Greg, our buddy Greg, and regular texter. Reminder, one of the, you know, musical entertainment here at the rodeo. Tonight, Mustache the Band. And it's great. Dalton, look at that. If you check it out, Greg's brother is a drummer of Mustache the Band. Well, he's going to have about 8,000 people probably down here cheering for him. That's going to be big tonight. 90s country is kind of the theme through all the musical entertainment at the rodeo this year. Let's see. Chris in Orange Beach said Ben, meaning Mobile City Councilman Ben Reynolds, said we did not pick on him last night. Well, maybe we needed to ratchet it up. We thought we kind of were, although some of my normal, the group of people that I judge with, that usually we gang up together and, you know, really give hell to whoever the new judge is, they were out fishing. They didn't work the Liars contest this year, so that put me kind of on my own in that. Hey, speaking of the fish, too, when we come back in hour number two, the man behind the judging, the guy over it all, Dr. Sean Powers with the University of South Alabama Marine Sciences and Dolphin Island Sea Lab, will join us. We'll talk about some of the things he's seen so far, you know, any kind of crazy fish, things and trends he's seeing there. Also talk about what he expects out of this new technology they're using down here to get information on the fish that we're all bringing in. So make sure to check that out. And also, you can drop us a line to the text line, 251-343-0106. Yeah, I saw the overview of the president's speech from last night. I know people asking about that. I did not watch it. We had all the things going on down here, so I did not watch it. But we could talk about some of the notes I've seen on this, or we can just actually pick it up on Monday. But that's on our list of things for the show on Monday. But I see that, let's see, election security, 2020 election. I know that was part of the discussion. I've just seen headlines at this point. Let's see. Also, Motorman says, is the Matt Matthews show really sold out if there's a lot of tickets available on StubHub? I don't know. Is that what Devin's saying in the headlines? I don't know that. We'll have to look. Not sure. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106.